And now we will hear some of the heartbeat of Sanatan Goswami. If there is a doctor and there is a patient who is coming into the emergency ward, the doctor will first take his stethoscope and place it to the heart so we can hear if the patient is alive. And when the heart is beating strongly, there is life. Sanatan Goswami's heart is full of Krishna Katha, is full of love for Krishna, is full of love for Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here, in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is the first of all the Goswami books that were written, he's going to reveal his heart. He's going to take us to Vrindavan and describe what is going on in Vrindavan. The Vrindavan that he sees is somewhat different from the Vrindavan that I see. Let's hear the goal. And if one follows the process, if one walks on the path that Sanatan Goswami is going to describe, or rather, in the interaction between Sanatan Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Thakur Haridas in Sri Chetra, in Jagannath Puri, the path is going to be described. So what we will see in our hearts is what Sanatan Goswami is describing. There are cows and bulls in Vrindavan. Numberless cows, actually. Countless. I worship that transcendental realm known as Swetadeep, where, as loving consorts, the Lakshmis, in their unalloyed spiritual essence, they practice the loving service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, their only lover. Where every tree fills all desires, where the soil is made of Chintamani gems and the water is nectar, and every word a song, every step a dance, and the flute is present everywhere. Effulgence in that realm is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all to be tasted and enjoyed. There, numberless cows give transcendental oceans of milk, and transcendental time, which is ever present without future, past, it eternally exists. It is not subject to being lost or passing away for even the space of a half a moment. This transcendental realm is known as Goloka, only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. That verse is from which transcendental literature? Brahma Samhita. And here is Sanatan Goswami's comment. All the trees in Goloka can fulfill any desire. All talk there is as pleasing as music, pure music. All movement has the grace of dancing. And Krishna always holds his flute with great affection in his hands. The cows of Goloka are known as Surabhi and Kamadenu, and they flood the land with their milk. And absent from Goloka is the passing of time. From the smallest fraction of a second to the ultimate length of Brahma's life. In the material world, all events are controlled by time. But in Goloka, time does not dominate. Every event and their sequence they all appear just for the pleasure of Krishna and his devotees in their pastimes. There is no manifestation of the material effects of time. Birth, change, fear, destruction do not exist. Goloka is called Swetadvip. What does Swetadvip mean? Sweta means white, Dvipa, island. It is different from the Swetadvip, the white island found within the ocean of milk in the material universe. In this universe, only a few rare souls know that the highest Swetadvip, the highest island surrounded by an ocean of milk, the souls who know this, the highest Swetadvip, are very rarely seen. Not only because they are so few, but also, Sanatana Goswami says, because they prefer to remain in seclusion to avoid materialistic association. They want to freely relish Krishna consciousness. Thus, Goloka is a very secret place, unknown to most people. The Supreme Person also appears in the Swetadvip of the milk ocean, but there, not all the women are his goddesses of fortune. He is not only the male consort, and the flute is not visible as his constant companion. Swetadvip in the material universe is surrounded by an ocean of milk, but that ocean is not cow's milk. All the special features, all these special features can be seen only in Goloka, the Swetadvip above Vaikuntha. Sri Goloka is called Sweta, white, because it is supremely pure and also because it is flooded by the white milk of Krishna's cows. It is a dvipa. What does dvipa mean? It is an island, not only in the sense of being a place separate from all others, but also because it is a secluded place, a shelter, the residence of exalted pure souls, such as Nanda Maharaj. Like Mathura Mandala on earth, Golok is shaped like a round island. It is bordered by the shores of the river Yamuna. And in Goloka, milk flows so abundantly that the whole Goloka world seems to be an island floating in the middle of an ocean of milk. Predominated by cows, Sri Mathura in the spiritual world is like the milk ocean. Milk is everywhere. And within that region is Sri Vrindavan. The white spiritual world is like the milk ocean. Oh, within that region is Sri Vrindavan, the white island Swetadvip, the land where Nanda Maharaj's cows gaze and ever drench the ground with their milk. Second verse. From the Bhagavatam 21st chapter, Venugita. The earth has now become most fortunate because, dear Krishna, you have touched her. You have touched her grass and bushes with your feet. You have touched her trees and creepers with your fingernails. And because you have graced her rivers, her mountains, the birds, the animals, with your merciful glances. But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women with your two arms, a favor hankered after the goddess of fortune herself. Srila Sanatana Goswami's comment. This is his heart. Even more fortunate than the plants, the bushes, and the grass, are the trees and the creepers of Vrindavan. Because Krishna, to pick their fruits and flowers, and to take their leaves and twigs and so on for decorating his body, he touches these with his hands. And more fortunate still are the rivers, like Sri Yamuna, and the mountains, like Giriraj, Govardhan. And more fortunate are the birds, like the peacocks, and the wild animals, like the black deer. For Krishna favors them with his merciful glances, to be looked at by the merciful glance of Krishna is fortune itself. It is true that Krishna casts his glance all over Vrindavan, but the good fortune of the rivers, the mountains, the birds, and the forest animals is described here as special because of the special pleasure Krishna enjoys from drinking and bathing in the water of the rivers. The pleasure he enjoys by climbing the mountain peaks and resting in the caves of the mountains and playing with the birds and animals in wonderful ways. By associating with the best of rivers, Krishna's most beloved Yamuna, and the best of mountains, Giriraj Govardhan, who is the foremost of servants of Lord Hari. The other rivers and mountains in Vrindavan obtain Krishna's favor. The birds and beasts of Vrindavan, who by the nature of their birth have little opportunity to be at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, they derive their good fortune mostly from his glance. He also shows his mercy to the birds and animals by calling out to them, by picking up their feathers, by touching them. Sometimes, when Krishna was taking care of the calves, he would call them close and he would pet them. He would scratch them very, very gently and he would rub them underneath their necks. And the calves would be ecstatic. Krishna would call the cows by their names. Hey! Hey Gauri! Hey Davali! Hey! Hey! Shamali! Hey! Madangamukhi! He would call them, and the cows would become so ecstatic to hear Krishna calling their name. Just as we feel so much happiness when someone we love calls us. And it is my speculation that sometimes the cows would get themselves lost just so that Krishna would call them. By picking up their feathers, by touching them. By Krishna's feet touch the trees and creepers in Braja. But it is the surface of the earth that becomes marked with his beautiful and auspicious footprints. The Bhagavatam describes that the residents of Vrindavan used to feel separation, the residents of Dwarka used to feel separation from Krishna when Krishna would leave and come back. And then the Bhagavatam describes, but the earth constantly for 125 years was feeling the touch of Krishna's lotus feet upon her. And then when Krishna disappeared from this planet, the earth underwent incredible separation. The separation from Krishna is intolerable for a lover of Krishna. And yet, somehow or another, we remain separate from Krishna in misery this class and the entirety of the Govardhan retreat from love and separation to obeisances again and again to the land of Braja, to hearing Lalita Madhava, to touching the dust of Vrindavan, to breathing the air in Vrindavan, it is all meant to awaken within our heart the desire to turn to Krishna. Now, Krishna bhule se jiva nadia bahimuk. How do you feel when I do this? It's quite insulting, isn't it? Krishna bhule se jiv anadya bahimukh. Bahimukh, we've turned our back on Krishna. We use the term aparad for what word? The English word. Offense. It also means more or less an insult, causing pain to Krishna. This will be one of the first topics we will discuss when we start reading this chapter. Let me continue here. Therefore, the good fortune of being touched by Krishna's feet belongs especially to the earth. The grass, the bushes, and the low-growing plants also have ample opportunity to be touched by Krishna's feet, a privilege seldom given to the trees and the higher plants. But of course the cows and the cowherd boys and of Braja have the greatest opportunity to associate with Krishna. Although the cows and the young cowherd boys who tend them with Krishna and Balaram are not explicitly mentioned in this verse, they are by far more fortunate than the plants and other animals. Most fortunate of all are the gopis, whose hearts are always drawn to Krishna. Just as Krishna, by glorifying the earth, is actually glorifying only the land of Braja, so by mentioning the gopis, he is referring only to the cowherd girls of Braja, not the gopis of any other place. The goddess Sri cannot have the good fortune of the gopis in Braja, but can only aspire for it as a distant goal. The gopis, favored by the embrace of Krishna's arms, are more fortunate than the birds, the animals he glances upon, more fortunate than the trees and creepers he touches with his hands, more fortunate than the grass, the plants, and bushes he touches with his feet. As indicated at the end of the verse by the word api also, the gopis also receive the same opportunity as all the others. Krishna also touches the gopis with his feet and hands, and he glances at them very mercifully. But in addition, the gopis receive the good fortune of Krishna's embrace. In Vrindavan, therefore, the gopis are surely Krishna's most favored devotees. Krishna willing, every day we shall get a glimpse directly into the heart of Sanatana Goswami as we read from his Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Clearly, the atmosphere here in Sridham Vrindavan at the foot of Giriraj Govardhan, surrounded by Kalpa Vriksha trees and the dust of Braja in the association of devotees. Clearly, we too are extremely fortunate. Let us make good use or best use of our fortune while we're here. The first verse of the fourth chapter of Antilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, written by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj and translated by our Srila Prabhupada, gives a summary of the entire chapter. I'll read the English. When Sanatana Goswami returned from Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu affectionately saved him from his determination to commit suicide. Then, after testing him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purified his body. Now, we're going to hand out now sheets so you can follow along with the English translation of the verses. Perhaps you can give out, yes, a bunch at a time. Again, my dear devotees, please listen carefully to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Listen to this chapter, and you will get good directions or even hints about how you can progress towards the goal of Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, in your own spiritual life. Look for hints. So this first verse, Sanatana Goswami returned from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great affection, avansnehat, saved him from his desire to commit suicide, to kill himself. Then, after testing him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to test him, parikshaya. We know the word parikshit, Parikshit Maharaj, the examiner, because he was always examining everyone he met to see if that person was the same person he had seen within the womb. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to test Sanatana Goswami, and we shall hear about this. And then Sanatana Goswami had his body purified by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Second verse. So all this is very mysterious at this point. Of course, many of us know this chapter, but let us read it deeply and thoughtfully. Second verse. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. After the summary, now a glorification of the great devotees, because glorifying the great devotees purifies the heart and removes ignorance. Ignorance is the cause of our being in the material world. It is ignorance. Translation. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Lord Chaitanya. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Third verse. Now, the beginning of the pastime. When Srila Rupa Goswami returned from Jagannath Puri to Bengal, Sanatana Goswami went from Mathura to Jagannath Puri to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the beginning. This is the setting of the scene. This pastime is like a drama that will be unfolded between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his dear devotee Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur. We can also see it as a symphony. There'll be themes playing, melodies playing throughout. And one of the major melodies we will come across right now, And that will be the cause of Sanatana Goswami's test. And we could also see it as the dealings between the Lord, who is the teacher, and his servant, his student, Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami went from Mathura, Vrindavan, to Jagannath Puri. And of course, how did he go? I will give you some hints. He did not take a plane. He did not take a train. He walked. Now, how many of you walked to Govardhan from where you were? Not so many, only one. But you were in Govardhan probably. Now, when we go to a place of pilgrimage, what happens nowadays, we get on a plane naturally and we fly over. And then what happens? Our body arrives, and then a few days later, perhaps even a week later, our mind arrives. That is not the natural way to go on pilgrimage. The natural way is a slower way. Because by walking and walking, and Sanatana Goswami, the distance between Jagannath Puri and Mathura Vrindavan is approximately 1,200 to 1,300 kilometers. Now, I'm not sure how many miles a day or kilometers a day Sanatana Goswami walked, but it took him almost 2 months to walk. And when walking at that slow pace, with no, like on an airplane, with no movies in front of you, no people who you don't know, perhaps sitting next to you, crowded in, distracted, tired, jet-lagged, by walking, your mind is always continuously contemplating on the place that you're going. So when you set out immediately thinking, Vrindavan, Vrindavan, in Sanatana Goswami's case, I will see Mahaprabhu, the Lord of my life. I will see him soon. I will see him. He looks like this. Maybe he'll say this. Maybe he'll do that. Vrindavan is like this, but Puri is like this and like that. Just contemplating and contemplating. Practically speaking, the opposite of taking a plane, the mind arrives weeks and months before the body. And by the time the body actually arrives, you are there completely. You've been there before even. And then you are ready to actually be in that spiritual place. You're actually ready to be there and take advantage of the incredible opportunities of transformation, of changing of the heart that the place actually offers, because these holy places, they are not of this world. Srila Prabhupada even says in the Krishna book that even a person who isn't even a devotee when he comes to Vrindavan, he will experience some separation. The heart must be touched. It is a magical place. It is a mysterious place. And in Vrindavan, there are no accidents. So Sanatana Goswami, he walked along the path through Jarakhanda forest in central India. And sometimes he fasted. And sometimes he would eat. Five. This is setting the tension, because every good drama, every story needs some tension. And if you haven't noticed, our lives always have tension in them. Because that tension has a purpose. And that purpose, we Krishna willing, we shall describe. But we're always trying to remove the tension from our life, but we are never able. It is there, it is placed by Krishna because there is incompatibility between our desires, between our body and who we are, between the different parts of our mind all arguing, and between the soul ultimately, ourselves, and being in the material world that naturally causes tension. So here the tension of this drama is being set up. But there is always in a good story a denouement, a resolution of the tension. And let us pray that the tensions that we feel in our life, they will be resolved here during this one visit to Vrindavan. Completely resolved. The Bhagavatam assures us in the story of Katvanga Maharaj that it can be done just like Vishrapona Sukhayate, and the world can become the most pleasing of places. But as it is often said, when a great promise is made in an advertisement, conditions apply. And you have to read the fine print, and we will find out how we can turn the world completely the right way. What conditions have to apply to our consciousness? So here's the beginning of the description of the tension. Sometimes as Sanatan walked, thinking about Krishna, thinking about Puri, thinking about seeing Mahaprabhu, sometimes he ate, sometimes he fasted. Sometimes food was available, sometimes it wasn't. Because of bad water, the tension is about to increase. Now also, I would like to mention, in the theory of Natak Shastra, the theory of rasa, the theory of drama, the most important thing is that a identification occurs with the main character. And then as he is happy, if this identification occurs, then we become happy. And if he becomes sad, if he experiences some misery, we experience it. That is the essential principle of Natak Shastra. And it is also the essential principle of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, ultimately, too, by the way. So because of bad water in the Jarakanda, and because of fasting, Sanatan Goswami contracted a disease that made his body itch. And thus, he was afflicted with itching sores. His body became covered with sores, wounds, itchiness that oozed fluid, pus, would come from his body, which was covered by these sores that itched. His mind was filled with thoughts of seeing Jagannath Swami and also of seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there his body was covered with these itching, painful sores that oozed horrible, pussy fluids. Dirty fluids. That made him this disease quite contagious as well. Sanatana Goswami, in great disappointment, he considered, I am of low caste. Nicha Jati, low family. Because although I was born in an exalted family of Brahmana, kings, pure, I have accepted service to Nawab Hussain Shah, who has killed thousands and thousands of pious Hindus, Vaishnavas, desecrated so many temples. This cruel slave king, my whole family birth is destroyed. I am contaminated in my body and my mind. I am of low caste, useless. And not only that, my body is useless for devotional service. Note, he was not thinking, my body is covered with these sores, these itching, oozing sores, and therefore I cannot enjoy myself. Because when you're itching and scratching and oozing, you cannot enjoy anything, neither eating nor sleeping, nor anything. No pleasure, just scratching and scratching and pain and oozing and pus. But Sanatan was not thinking of himself. He was thinking, my body is useless for devotional service. Asar. It is useless, completely. Completely useless. I cannot serve. We're getting a hint of his exalted consciousness. Indeed, he's already met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu has blessed him. He is blessed. He gave up everything. He was practically the prime minister of Gaudiya Desh. He gave it up. I don't want this. He had unlimited opulence. I don't want this. He became a beggar. And now, a beggar to attain the service of Mahaprabhu, and now his body, just when he's going to see Mahaprabhu, his body is covered with oozing sores and itching. 7. When I go to Jagannath Puri, I will not be able to see Lord Jagannath because tradition disallowed it, because I have accepted the service of Nawab Hussain Shah, who was attacking actually Orissa, Purushottam Chetra and Maharaj Prataparudra. That's why he was upset with Sanatana Goswami for leaving, because he was on the verge of attacking Lord Jagannath's kingdom to destroy it. And I was his servant. My caste, my ability to even see Lord Jagannath has been removed. And I will not be able to always see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is what was important to him. We can glimpse at the purity of his heart. When something bad happens to me, I think of me and my pleasure and how this is going to get in the way of my pleasure. Selfishness. And to quote our Dadu Duren Sen in Vrindavan, he says, I am the worst kind of fish, a selfish. He continues, I have heard that the residential quarters of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are near the temple of Jagannath, but I shall not have the power to go near the temple. The servants of Lord Jagannath generally move about, tending to their duties. But if they touch me with my low position and my sores, they'll be contaminated and I shall have offended them. I will have offended them, and by offense, by that insult and offense, I will be completely ruined. My body cannot do anything positive, and all I will do is offend others. I will offend others, and then by offense, my future, my present is already ruined, and my future will be ruined by offense. And therefore, in 10 through 12, he reaches his conclusion. Therefore, if I sacrifice my body in a good place, if I die, if I kill myself, and we have already heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to save him from this, as he tests him, if I sacrifice my body in a good place, my unhappiness will be mitigated. It will be removed. The great unhappiness, the contradiction in my life. Think about this. He wants to serve. He has no capacity. The tension. Capacity and desire. Tension. In Krishna consciousness, that can be turned into the greatest fortune. That tension between the lack of capacity and a deep, full, blossoming desire can turn into the greatest fortune. Sanatana Goswami is feeling that. His desire is incredible. He feels his capacity is less than nothing, is negative. If I sacrifice my body in a good place, my unhappiness will be mitigated. And also, the happiness coming from the tension. But as we have also found out, many of us in our life, we cannot escape this tension as much as we try. So he wants to escape, and by his conception is, if I commit suicide in a good place, I will go upward, I'll be elevated. My problem will be solved, and I'll have a fine future. Right now, I have no future and no present. 11. Here is his plan. During the Rath Yatra festival, when Lord Jagannath comes out of the temple, I shall give up this body under the wheel of his cart. I think this was a very typical way that people used to end their lives, people who felt hopeless. They would jump under the cart of Lord Jagannath. And nowadays, I believe, and our Madhavananda Prabhu, yes, they guard the wheels still, because people tended to do that.
This year, 6 people died. It's the first time anyone's died in 100 years.
In how many years?
100 years.
And then 12. And after seeing Lord Jagannath, I shall give up my body under the wheel of the cart in his presence and in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this will be the highest benediction of my life. I'll be guaranteed to go upward. Having made this resolution, Sanatana Goswami went to Nilachal, Jagannath Puri, where he inquired directions from people and approached the residence of Haridas Thakur. This is the opening scene. Sanatana Goswami had previously met Thakur Haridas. Thakur Haridas came with Mahaprabhu to Ramakeli. So they knew each other already. Thakur Haridas was the emblem of humility, and because of the power of his humility, he was the emblem and the teacher of chanting of Krishna's holy names. So he offered his respects. Sanatana Goswami, who was the king's minister, born in an exalted Brahmin family, he offered his respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family, He knew him and thus embraced him. 15. Now we're moving. Now the second part of the setup of the scene. 15. Mahaprabhu dekite tandra utkanti taman haridasa kahe prabhu asivena ekan. Mahaprabhu, he says, Sanatan Goswami was very eager because he had been thinking and thinking as he was traveling for 2 months walking, thinking soon I'll be able to see the lotus feet of my Lord and Master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the way, these are Mahaprabhu's lotus feet from the Gambhira, from the Garuda Stamba in Jagannath Puri, in the temple. Yes, otherwise how will all the devotees take shelter there? So big. Somewhere. Sanatana Goswami was very eager to see the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, Haridas Thakur said, the Lord is coming here very soon. 59 days, 58 days, 57 days, 56 days, 55, 54, 3, 2, 1. And now he walks into Puri, takes shelter of Thakur Haridas' place, which is at, what is the name of Thakur Haridas' place? Siddhavakul. And soon as he gets there, Thakur Haridas says, Mahaprabhu is coming soon. Now everything is set up in the drama. Now, I would like to read some descriptions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from some of the prayers written by his dear followers, Srila Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. This is what Sanatana Goswami, this is who Sanatana Goswami wished to see. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes maddened by tasting the mellows of devotional service. His effulgent form is the abode of sweetness for millions of cupids. He is the crest jewel of the sannyasis. His garments display the effulgence of the sun, and the splendor of his body eclipses the beauty of gold. And Srila Rupa Goswami says, will he again become visible before the path of my eyes? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he chants the Hare Krishna mantra in a loud voice. The holy name dances on his tongue as he counts the number of recitations with his effulgent hand. His eyes are large, and his long arms bend as he performs his pastimes, and his arms reach his knees. Will he again become visible before the path of my eyes? His form is as splendid as new gold. His waist is decorated with a water pot. He is as graceful as a regal young elephant. And by appreciating his own Krishna Prasadam garlands, he teaches his dear devotees. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, show us all his causeless mercy. Raghunath Das Goswami's prayers. Will Sachi's son, who wears a kopan, and above that a saffron outer garment, whose form is like a tree trunk, as splendid as a golden mountain, and who loudly sings his own sweet holy names, when will he again walk on the pathway of my eyes? When everyone else sees his graceful motions, they revile the graceful mad elephant. And when they see the beauty of his face, they spit at the moon. He is as splendid as a gold mountain, and the waves of his words are nectar. The appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awakens in my heart, and it causes me to go mad. He is like a golden mountain that scatters jewels of pure love of God. And because of his great mercy, he wandered on this earth planet. That Lord known as Vishrambar, the maintainer of the universe, he drowned his own universe with the current of the Ganga River of tears of love of God that continuously flowed from his eyes. All glories to that Lord, the son of Sachi Devi. Sometimes he calls out, "O Krishna!
O Krishna!"
And sometimes he sighs, O Radha,
where are you?
Where are you?
Sometimes
he falls to the ground. Sometimes he acts wildly, losing all composure. And sometimes he dances ecstatically with his loving associates. He has made all the residents of this world, from the blades of grass up to Lord Brahma, loudly call out the name of Krishna,
Krishna,
again and again, loudly, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Near Jagannath Puri was a great sand dune known as, and seeing that hill, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Oh,
I shall go to the land of Braja to see Govardhan Hill. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki.
Then he went running madly to it, and all the Vaishnavas ran after him. And Raghunath Das says, this scene awakens in my heart, and it causes me to become mad. Mahaprabhu's heart was overflowing always. And his heart's overflowing came out in the form of the Ganga of his eyes, sprinkling everyone. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was now walking to Siddhabakul to see Haridas Thakur, and he did not yet know who else was there, Sanatana Goswami. At that very moment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is text 16, after visiting the temple of Jagannath to see the offering of Upala Bhog, he came with his other devotees to see Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, because of his, he could not visit the temple because he was born in a Muslim family. He could not see Lord Jagannath, and therefore he humbly stayed at Siddhabakul. And Mahaprabhu, who was Lord Jagannath himself, every day he would come and visit Thakur Haridas and bring him Mahaprasadam. So he came with his other devotees to see Haridas Thakur, and seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they both, who were the both, Thakur Haridas and Sanatana Goswami, they immediately fell to the ground like rods, dandavat, to offer obeisances. And knowing that Thakur Haridas was there, Mahaprabhu lifted him immediately and embraced him. Haridas Kahi, Haridas said, Sanatan Kori Namaskar. It is Sanatan who is on the ground paying his obeisances to you. Sanatani Deke, Prabhu, when Mahaprabhu saw Sanatan, Hoila Chamadkar, he was filled with wonder. Sanatan is here. Because the last time he saw him was in Benares. And there was no emails to say, I am coming now on this date. Please pick me up. Call Gopal. Send a taxi. Immediately, 19, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came forward to embrace Sanatan, embrace him, and Sanatan backed away. And he spoke as follows. Why did he back away? Because his body was covered with these oozing, terrible, gruesome, horrible, pussy sores that were itching continuously. My Lord, please do not touch me. I fall at your lotus feet. I am the lowest of men, having been born of a low caste. Beside that, I have infections on my body. Because in Sanatana Goswami's heart was Mahaprabhu. There was love. And one who loves another does not want to cause the other the slightest inconvenience. What to speak of touching Mahaprabhu was effulgent, transcendental. Contagious, oozing, pussy wounds. He backed away and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came forward again to embrace him. He embraced Sanatana Goswami, balat kore, with force. He forced him within his arms and embraced him. Now, Sanatana Goswami, remember what were the two reasons why he wanted to end his life? The first was he couldn't see Lord Jagannath because he was born of Nicha Jati, and then also, he couldn't see Mahaprabhu all the time. And then, because Mahaprabhu was living right in Gambir, Radhakanta, right close to the temple, the servants of Lord Jagannath are there. And Sanatan was so sensitive that he was thinking, if I touch one of those servants or one of those servants touches me of Lord Jagannath, just by that touch I will be an offender. And that will cause my future to be ruined. And Mahaprabhu is embracing him by force. And his transcendental body is touching this oozing, pussy body of Sanatana Goswami. And what is going on in the heart, in the sensitive, soft, loving heart of Sanatana Goswami? This point. His heart is cracking and breaking. I want to make this point because for those of us who have hard hearts and don't have this type of sensitivity, these type of dealings will remain mysterious. We should see Sanatan's heart, because what is in his heart? It is Goloka Vrindavan. Always the most pure, the most loving, the most touching. So Mahaprabhu embraces him by force, and Sanatan's heart cracks. He cannot move away any further because Mahaprabhu, with his long arms that reach his knees, have captured him. He embraced Sanatana Goswami by force, and thus the moisture, the pussy, oozing moisture, oozed from the itching sores. It touched the transcendental body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sanatan was horrified. Text 22. Sababhakta gane prabhu mililai sanatane. Sanatan koila sabara charana vadane. Then, therein lies one of the essential themes, melodic themes of this chapter. Sanatan doesn't want Mahaprabhu to touch him at all. And Mahaprabhu insists. Now, what happens next? There is a little bit of a break. Then, the Lord introduced all the devotees who he was with, his associates in Puri, to Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami, this exalted person, what did he do? He offered his respectful obeisances into the lotus feet of them all. And the exact Bangla sabda, charanavandane, sabad charanavandane, that of all of them, charanavandan, he worshipped their lotus feet. All the associates of Mahaprabhu, he offered his obeisances. He worshipped their lotus feet. The Lord introduced all the devotees to Sanatana Goswami, who offered his respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of them all. The Lord and the devotee and his devotees sat on a raised platform, and below them, below that, sat Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from Sanatana about news of his well-being. How are you? Kusala, kusala, what auspiciousness is in your life? Tell me about it. How are you? And Sanatana replied, basically there is one auspicious thing in my life. Everything is auspicious because I have seen your lotus feet. Because I am sitting at your feet. You and your devotees are on the raised platform. And I am sitting at your lotus feet. Everything is auspicious for me. See his mentality. See his humility. And you will see it again and again. Examine the mentality and humility of Sanatana Goswami. Watch his actions. Watch Mahaprabhu's dealing with him, and watch how he is going to react continuously. When the Lord asked about all the Vaishnavas in Mathura, because Sanatana Goswami was coming from Mathura, Sanatana Goswami informed him of their good health and fortune. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed Sanatana Goswami, now the scene is going to shift. Now, please watch this closely, this shift, because something is going to be glorified here that we're going to see in Sanatana Goswami very deeply. Please listen carefully. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then disclosed some bad news. He said, he informed Sanatana Goswami, text 26, Srila Rupa Goswami was here for 10 months. He left for Bengal just 10 days ago. So what a coincidence. Not a coincidence, of course. Mahaprabhu wanted his time somehow or another. He wanted his time with each of them separately. Sanatana Rupa Goswami just left, Sanatana arrived. But now, your brother, there were three brothers, oldest Sanatana, second Sri Rupa, third Anupam. Your brother Anupam, Ganga Prapti, he has attained the Ganga. He has died. The youngest brother is now dead. Bad news. He was a very good devotee, and who had firm conviction in Raghunath, Lord Ramachandra. Please, my dear devotees, note this. Dridha Tar Bhakti. His devotion was dridha. It was fixed. It was firm in Raghunath, in Lord Ramachandra. Dridha Bhakti. Here is where devotional service begins. Sanatan Goswami said, replied to Mahaprabhu's news, I was born in a low family. For my family commits all kinds of religious acts. What religious acts? They were serving this Hussein Shah who is committing atrocities everywhere. Irreligious acts, my whole, and all three of them were actually in the service of Hussein Shah. Our family commits all kinds of religious acts that violate the scriptural injunctions. My Lord, without hatred for my family, you have accepted me as your servant. Tomara Kripaya Vangse Mangal Amar. Only by your mercy is there good fortune in my family. Think about that. From the very beginning, topic changes slightly. From the very beginning, going back to Anupam, because Mahaprabhu said he was a very good devotee who had dridha tar bhakti for Ramachandra. Sanatan confirms this. 30. From the very beginning of his childhood, my younger brother Anupam was a great devotee of Raghunath, Lord Ramachandra. And he worshipped him. Dridha chitte. Chitte means the consciousness, the mind, the heart. He worshipped him, dridha, with firm, fixed heart and mind. It did not flicker. Today, I am a devotee of Giriraj Govardhan. And tomorrow, or later in the day, or when someone goes like this to me, I become a devotee of my mind again, and my anger, and my lust, and my greed. No flickering in shelter. Dridha chitte. Maharaj was speaking about this. I told Maharaj after his speaking that his words were very sweet, and he said, I'm not sure they were sweet, but what I really meant, they were strong and piercing. He worshipped him. Dridha chitti, fixedness in shelter. Ratri Dine Raghunathera Nam Aradhyan. He continuously always chanted the names of Raghunath and meditated upon him. He continuously heard about the activities of the Lord from the Ramayana and he chanted about them. This is the characteristics that made him dridha chitte. His consciousness was fixed. He was absorbed. Again, my dear devotees, all the instructions how we can achieve what Sanatana Goswami achieves and is describing in his heart are given in this chapter in brief and condensed form. And if we follow them, even though they are condensed, everything is there. This is the essence of the process of devotion that will bring us to Braja. He was always fixed in hearing and chanting and speaking about his Raghunath. 32. Rupa and I are his elder brothers. He stayed with us continuously. He heard Srimad Bhagavatam and he heard talks about Lord Krishna with us, both of us. Pariksha examined him. Rupa and Sanatan examined the fixedness in devotion of Anupam. But he who is the examiner in this chapter will become the examined. And we know that he will pass the test. But see what's being glorified here. Pariksha, Ami Dvijana, we two souls, Rupa and Sanatan, examined the fixedness of their younger brother, Anupam. Dear Balava, we said, please hear from us. Lord Krishna is supremely attractive. His beauty, his sweetness, and his pastimes of love are without limit. Engage yourself in devotional service to Krishna with both of us. We three brothers shall stay together, and we three shall enjoy discussing the pastimes of Lord Krishna. In this way, Sanatana is telling Mahaprabhu, we both spoke to him again and again. And because of this persuasion, and because of his respect for us, his mind turned somewhat towards our instructions. Balava replied, my dear brothers, elder brothers, how can I disobey your orders? Initiate me into the Krishna mantra so that I may perform devotional service to Lord Krishna. Etakahi, saying this, Ratri Kale Korena Chintana. After saying this, he began to think. That night, he began to think. Kemane Chedimu Raganatar Charan. How is it possible for me to give up the lotus feet of Ram, Raghunath? How is it possible? He stayed up all night and cried. In the morning, he came to us and submitted the following plea. I have sold my head at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. I cannot take it away. That would be too painful for me. Kripa kore, mor agya. Give me an order by your mercy. Give me an order. You please give me an order, both of you. Change your order to me. Janme jame sevan raganatera charan. That I may, birth after birth, serve the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. Drida chite. It is impossible for me to give up the lotus feet of Lord Raghunath. Whenever I even think of giving them up, deviating from his shelter, from his service, from being absorbed in chanting and hearing his glories, when I even consider it within my mind, my heart breaks. Upon hearing this, Sanatana is describing, both of us embraced him and encouraged him by saying, you are a great saintly devotee, for your determination in devotional service is fixed. In this way, we both praised him. The Bangla, you are sadhu, because drida bhakti tomar, because of your fixed bhakti. My dear devotees, fixed bhakti, it is glorified. That is what makes one a sadhu. My dear Lord, Sanatana continues, the family upon which you bestow even a little mercy is always fortunate, for such mercy makes all miseries disappear. Please note this. His mercy makes all miseries disappear. And Mahaprabhu in the ensuing verses is going to continuously, again and again, cause Sanatana Goswami misery by testing him, by cracking his heart again and again, by embracing him. As the ooze, pus, infection, everything is going to be revealed. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replies. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there was a similar incident concerning Murari Gupta. Formerly, I examined him, and his determination was similar, because Murari Gupta, one of Mahaprabhu's associates, was a devotee of Ram. Ramdas, he wrote. Mahaprabhu tested him first, and then wrote Ramdas upon his forehead. And then two wonderful verses that Mahaprabhu says. These are used in the introduction, dedication to my glorious master. Sevakta danya yena chade prabhura charana. Se prabhura danya yena chade nijana. Glorious is that devotee who does not give up the shelter of his Lord. And glorious is that Lord who does not abandon his servant. Relationship. Definition of glory in this world. Second verse. Durdaiva sevaka yadi. If durdaivam, durdaivam idrisam ihan anuja, if by misfortune, durdaivam sevaka yadi, yadi if sevaka, if the devotee by misfortune, yaya anyastani, if he goes away to a different place, se takor danya. That Lord, Master, is merciful. Tare, his chule, hair, dare, holds on to it. Ane, brings him back. If by chance a servant falls down and goes somewhere else, glorious is that Master who captures him and brings him back by the hair. Fixedness in service from both sides. And this is love, relationship, fixedness. And then the final verse we'll read today. It is very good, Mahaprabhu says, that you have come here. And he's going to fix him, put the pressure on him. It is very good that you have arrived here. Now stay in this room with Haridas Thakur. You stay with Haridas. Say Gari. How to remain fixed in Krishna consciousness despite the flickerings of the mind? Very easily. Just stay with Haridas Thakur. Chanting 24 hours a day, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, invincible. Stay in the association of devotees, fixed devotees. Another lesson. That was one. What pulls you away? What pulls me away from that fixedness? What makes my consciousness not drida, but adrida? Makes it unsteady. Chanchanam hi mana Krishna. The flickering of the mind. Kama esha, krodha esha. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguno samudbhava. Mahasano. This is the great enemy. We become fixed. And the mind moves back and forth from that fixedness by the power of kama and krodha, born of anger and lust and greed, born of the modes of passion and ignorance. Mahasano mahapatma. These are the enemies in this world. Nothing else. Vyavya satmika buddhi. We have to become fixed. if we want the result that Sanatana is describing, the ocean of milk of the cows of Braja. Another part of this class, I would like everyone to just look at Giriraj for a moment. And did Adi Purusha Prabhu? Yes, very rapidly, as you're looking at Giriraj and deeply praying to Giriraj, and Gopinath, who is over there on his hill, we're going to hear the words of a devotee of Giriraj. And my suggestion is that because we were hearing about the glories of Dridha Chitti or Dridha Bhakti, fixed focus in devotion, that might, at this point, and after we hear the words of a devotee, a great devotee of the greatest devotee of Haridas Vajo, or one can say the greatest devotee of the greatest devotee, we might pray for service, fixedness in service. Raise your hand if you don't have a sheet. Raise your hand if you do have a sheet. Everyone say, Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki! Bolo Giriraj Dharan ki! Okay. Now Srila Prabhupada, who's practically the last desire that he expressed in this world was to visit Giriraj, as we sit here in front of Giriraj, let us hear Prabhupada's words about service. And hopefully technology will come through. Ready? You have to be ready to change the volume, Prabhu, just in case.
Krishna. This is Krishna. If you offer him huge pushta, he can eat, and if you can offer him little flour, fruit, and water, that also. He is satisfied. So, everyone should offer according to his means, and Krishna is ready to accept. Not that you have to become a very rich man, and you have to offer Krishna foodstuff 56 times, as in Jagannath Puri, the foodstuffs are offered. Not that. He is pleased, anyway. But become a devotee, try to please him, pure. Best capacity. You know the story of that Brahmin. He had no means to offer anything to Krishna. He was so poor. But he wanted to offer something. But he thought that I am so poor, I cannot offer anything. So one day he heard from the Bhagavad Gita that one can offer him within mind also. So he took it seriously, and from that day, he was offering Krishna so many nice foodstuffs, collecting water from different rivers and keeping the water in golden jugs and bathing Krishna and offering. He was always thinking. And one day he prepared sweet rice and offered Krishna, and he wanted to see where the rice is, because sweet rice very hot is not good. Sweet rice, the more it is cooler, then it is tasty. But milk, if you take cool, that is not tasty. Milk you have to take hot, but not the sweet rice. So he wanted to test whether it is too hot. So his finger burnt, and then his meditation broke. He saw there is no rice, but his finger is burnt. In this way, the Brahmin was immediately taken to Vaikuntha. So, Krishna can be offered in any circumstances. Krishna can be pleased, provided you want to be pleased, provided you want to serve him. There is no question of, that is already explained, that dhana-jana, riches or learning or respectability, all these things can satisfy Krishna. Krishna wants only your heart. Krishna, you are my eternal master, I am your eternal servant, please engage me in your service. Nadhanang nadhanang nasundaring kapitang majagadi sakamai mamo janmani janmani shari bhavatal bhakti rahi kutilta. This is the prayer. A devotee never asks Krishna, you give me money, you give me many followers, you give me nice wife. No. Nadhanang nadhanang nasundaring kapitang majagadi sakam. Then what do you want? I want to be engaged in your service. Not I want. A devotee never says, I want. Please, if you like, engage. That is, this Hare Krishna mantra means that. Hare, Hare is the, addressing Radha, Hara, from Hare, from Hara, Hare. And Krishna, the Radharani and Krishna, Hare Krishna. Please engage me in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. So, we should simply pray, kindly engage me in your service, in whatever capacity you like. I have got my own desire. So Krishna gives us freedom. In whichever capacity you want to serve me, I shall accept. Either as servant, either as friend, either as father, mother, or either as conjugal lover. Anyway, Krishna is ready to accept our service, and he does not require any service, but if we render service, that is our benefit, that is required. And this Krishna consciousness movement is teaching that try to serve Krishna. That is the beginning of teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jiveer Sarupa Nitya Krishna Da. They are trying to be master. That is Maya. It is not possible to become Maya, master. You cannot become master if you think that you are going to be master. That is Maya. Prakritakshyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa ahankar vimulatma katta ham iti mannate. They think like that. But nobody can be master. But they fool trusted. They want to become master, and when they fail, then they want to become one with God, the Supreme Master. This is going. They are all Maya, illusion. The real life is to remain eternal servant of Krishna and offer service to him to the best capacity. That is perfection of life. Thank you.
So in the remaining minutes of this class, I suggest that we don't go far away at this point, but we sit or locate ourselves not too far away, because there'll be time for that in a few moments, and pray. Chant Krishna's holy names on beads, and pray for service, for dhrida chitte, for, just as Prabhupada was saying, just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was indicating, and one assignment to take with you. And that assignment is try to do one little bit, at least one act of service to someone else before the next class. to Giriraj, to the devotees, to the retreat managers, to anyone. Something just for the pleasure of Krishna and to please them. Okay, I won't speak anymore, but I shall also chant and pray. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Sanatana Goswami Pada ki jai, Sri Thakur Haridas ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.